one, that you've agreed that God has the best box top for you. Number two, you have decided emphatically that you have turned over everything in your life to Him. Complete surrender to Him. Isn't that what we need? Lots of times we want to hold back a few of those pieces. Have you ever had that one child in the house that takes one piece and hides it so they get to put the last piece in? No one's that diabolical in your household. I was that child. I wanted to turn it over. But there are some pieces in our life that we're not sure we want complete surrender to God over. Our relationships, our job, our money, all sorts of pieces in our life, all the things that we have to decide is God's plan for us. So, ladies, I know it's at the very beginning, and I think because you decided to come to this conference, you have already decided to turn over. But as we start talking, as I start talking, as God's Spirit starts moving, He might ask you to give over a piece of your life that you thought you had given over. It's not fitting in your big puzzle of your life because you have been holding on to it. It's not on the table to be put together. So I want you to think that maybe that the Lord might have that. Why isn't your piece fitting together? Well, it's not even on the table yet. So can we just stop right now and reaffirm to the Lord, as we're going to put a puzzle together, we really need to make sure we understand, Father, there's so many pieces in our lives, so many moving parts, so many needs, so many people need us, so many people are relying on us, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, nephews, parents, jobs. It is so complicated. Our neighbors, our job. Father, so many pieces, especially for us women. We're the nurturers. So, Father, there's pieces from our past, struggles in our past, that are just important pieces as well, Father. Have we turned over? Have we decided we are going to forgive that person? Are we still holding on to that piece, Father? Father, I just pray right now as we begin this session and this weekend that you will just continue to move. Show us, Father. Show us. In Jesus' name we pray. I rely a lot on prayer when I teach because I'm going to give you a passage. I'm going to let you know what the Lord says. Then I want Him to have time then to work. It's not just about you listening to me or reading His word. It's about this too. So we are going to study a passage. I love this theme verse. I picked out this theme verse, but we're not studying it. It has to do with what we're doing, and it's going to go together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are going to do the entire chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because I think Paul in this chapter answers so many questions about the pieces of our puzzle and how it all fits together. We're going to spend three more sessions about our pieces. What do these pieces fit? Pieces to live by, and then piecing it all together. But tonight we are going to just do the first seven verses. So, chapter 4, are we there? I want to make sure that your Bible says the same thing as mine. Different versions. I'm reading out of the New King James. Just so you can follow along. I am, and I laugh to say that I am dyslexic, but I really am. And I will transpose words. Just go on. People always try to correct me, and I know. So just, I'm serious. You're going to hear it, and just go on. Just kind of laugh and say, Lord, you can use her. Okay? So I'm going to try to, people that have dyslexia aren't really good readers. So I've practically memorized this, so we'll see if it works. So, therefore, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience and the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone, ladies, shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to have time to go through this verse by verse, and I'm going to give you some concentrated some verses, but we are going to get the gist of it. So, we have turned over our boxes pieces. What's the next thing you do? Someone already said? Find the borders. So now you're going to separate in your puzzles. You take them all out, and you spend all that time looking for those hard, flat edges. Because the border is the framework in which you're going to put all the other pieces in, right? So that's why it's very important to have the frame, the foundation. Well, Paul here is going to give us the foundation. He says right here in the very beginning, therefore, since we have this ministry. Now, for the sake of time, I can't tell you all that he already said, because when you read therefore, you ask why it's therefore, you know that. So Paul is already assuming you have read chapters 1, 2, and 3. He answers our questions, and he's exhorting these believers that we have now been given this ministry that is not like Moses. We're no longer under the law, but we're under the law of liberty. So if you look over and just glance over in chapter 3, he tells us and contrasts our ministry with Moses's. And then he says in verse 17, therefore now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is of the Lord, there is liberty. But we have all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being all transformed into this same image from glory to glory, just as by then the Spirit of the Lord. Now, to make it all make sense, Paul is basically saying the Old Testament was an old way of thinking, the New Testament's the new way of thinking. And the new way of thinking is we have a ministry with God, for God. We have a relationship with God through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? You guys are well taught, well fed. That's the foundation. So you ask yourselves, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry. Well, I don't know about you. I don't think Paul explained that very well, because I didn't explain it very well to you right then, did I? The answer is no, you didn't, Kathy. So let me explain a little bit further. Paul is saying here, therefore, since we have this ministry, and he is making sure we know we have a ministry. Not a ministry as in the job occupation, like you have a minister. All of us have been given a ministry of life. It's kind of what Paul's saying. This applies to everybody, what your life is all about. Your life is all about a ministry. Now, the thing about Paul is he's writing to these Corinthians that already have a firm foundation on what our faith is all about. And so he's assuming the Corinthian church already knows what their ministry to God and for God is. He's assuming that. And I could assume you know that, but I'm going to assume that we all need to kind of be told again. What is the framework? Well, you know, Jesus already answered the question. Keep your hands in 2 Corinthians, because we're going to be there the whole time. And flip over. That's what Southern women do. We flip. Flip over to Mark. The disciples asked Jesus this same exact question. He just worded it a little bit different. Mark chapter 12. We call it, what is our ministry? The disciples said, they came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? What is our ministry supposed to be? As a matter of fact, when they asked in chapter 12, he says, what is the greatest, verse 29, and we're going to read it in a minute. They asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Now, that greatest, that word greatest, actually in Greek is protos. I don't say many Greek words because I can't pronounce them, but I can do that one. Protos, P-R-T-P-R-O-T-O-S. I moved it, didn't I? P-R-O-T-O-S. It's where we get our English word priority. So basically what the disciples were saying, okay, Jesus, you're telling us all these things, how we're supposed to be like, what we're supposed to do, but simplify it us. Those disciples were simple guys, were simple people. They're saying what, Jesus, should be the priority in our life. Simplify it for us. We're just fishermen. So his response, chapter 12, verse 29, it says, he responds with this. Jesus answered, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with how? All your heart, all your, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And he answered the second one saying, and you shall as yourself, there is no other commandments greater than these. Ladies, as simple as it sounds, God is saying the framework of your life, the borders of your life, all your pieces that are unique and different to you, right? But the framework is the same for everyone. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and then we are to love others. He tells us we are supposed to love him with all our heart. And that's why this verse that I selected, give me understanding that I might follow and do with all my heart. Ladies, we as women understand our hearts, don't we? We are moved by our hearts. We are women. We are intuitive. Our hearts think and move and feel, and they are a wonderful aspect of our being. Archibald Chambers wrote this. He says, no love of the human heart is safe unless it is completely filled with the love of God. And sometimes that's our problem. We seek to love other people without first being filled with the love of God. We have yet to embrace the fact that God loves us so much. And then we respond to him in love. Our love for him, our love for others. You know, one of my little pet peeves in life, one of many, is people talk about their soulmates. I found my soulmate, and they call them their husband. I am so glad they love their husband. I'm not negating that, but my soulmate is Jesus. He is what consumes my soul. And it is from the wellspring of that love I can then love others. That's the foundation. That's the border of our lives. We are to love God with everything you are. Love him with all your heart. Be totally consumed, caught up in the love of God. And then, ladies, everything else just falls into place. You know how that does that? You start asking yourself, is this action or attitude reflective of my love for God and his love for me? It's simple. If it's not expressing love, you don't do it. How do you love others? Is this the love of God? It's really, really simple. More than that, I think we move from being puzzled with pieces and find peace, P-E-A-C-E, when we realize that what God desires most in our lives is our love for him. I can remember one time, it's been many years ago, I was having my devotion in the carpool line at Burger King. Quiet time. busy mother of four kids, you know, it was the first time it was quiet in the morning. Let's face it, God moves in the car, doesn't he? He does. He does. And I have no bones about it. That's my quiet talk time. I'm captured. I'm enraptured by God in the quiet of my car. And I had just taken all my four kids and had taken them to school and singing some song. And I don't even remember what song it was, but God spoke to me so clearly. He says, Kathy, do you know I really want just your love? And I said, you've got everyone's love. You got Sally Sue. That's the Southern woman. This was my way of thinking. God created all these people in the world, and all these people love him. Right? And that's true, right? Shake your heads. I'm trying to keep you awake because I still got a few minutes. He's got all these people. But God was saying, no matter how many people love me, I want your love. And then he took me back to my thought process, and he says, you know, I wanted my husband's love. I want my mother's love. I want my sister's love. I want my children's love. And it's not enough to say, well, my husband loves me, if I don't feel the love of my children. It's not enough to say my mama loves me when I don't feel like my husband loves me. You following me? And I'm not complete unless I think everyone is loving me. And the special thing that God said to me, he says, I feel the same way. I might have everyone else's love, but your love is unique to you, and I desire that love. And I'm at it pursuing that love relationship with you that is so unique to just him and I. You know what it did? It elevated my love for him, because I then saw that my love was special. It was unique. You know, he created us all so, so different. And that's why. It's not just enough that he has Meve's love. He wants your love. As quirky as it is, as much as you think you disappoint him, it's your love. He is calling us to love him. Love him. The problem is our hearts really sometimes can get calloused in our love. It says to love him with all our heart. But sometimes that love relationship with God, it can get calloused. We can move into a performance relationship instead of a love relationship, can't we? We can drift into duty and performance and not really have a connection with the presence of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You see, he wants to bring us back to our first love. I love Toby Mac. You know, good old Southern girls aren't supposed to be hip-hopping, but I just love a good Toby. Isn't that funny? You know that song, I Was Made to Love You, Made to Adore You? And you know, that is so much. That's why we were made. That's why I'm not up here singing, don't worry. I was made to love and adore him. Am I? Am I so consumed with all these busy pieces of my life that I have forgotten the framework of my life, the boundaries and the borders, is to love him? That's why Paul goes on and he says, back in 2 Corinthians, he says, since we have this ministry, to love God with all our heart. That's our ministry to God. And then we have a ministry for God. What was it? You read it. That love others. See, God wants us to love others with that love. If you're loving God, you're loving others. If you're loving others, you're loving God. It's the whole framework. And let me remind you, too. Your love for other people, you've been put in the right place. In the right neighborhood, at the right job site, you were the right mother for that prodigal. You did the best. Amen. I mean, you were the right mother. You still are the right mother. You are the right wife for that man. It don't matter what that man's like. You're the right wife. Because only you Just like you're the only one that can love God, you're the only one that can minister to those people that God's called you to love. Okay? That's a whole different Bible study that I wasn't asked to do. I'm using an iPad for the first time. This is really kind of fun. You gotta try it. It's kind of a finger thing. It's kind of... So where am I in my notes? So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, since we have this ministry we've been given through mercy, we do not lose heart. Yeah, Kathy, I try to love God with all my heart. I try to love those folks that you've been given to me. But sometimes our hearts are just not in it. Can we just admit that? We do. You know, our heart is the center of our being. It is the total center of our personality. It's where you have your intuitions, your feelings, your emotions, your enthusiasm. It's where you get your courage from. If your heart's not in it, you're just not in it, right? It is what makes you, you. Everyone's hearts are different. Some of you cry at Alpo commercials for dogs. Because poor puppy dog was getting the wrong kind of food. You're moved, right? I'm not. I only got moved when I was pregnant, and then everything cries. She's never going to want to come back again because the poor little thing. You know, it's our heart. It is our heart that God longs for. It's where God's placed our desires, our dreams. And our hearts are where we are most vulnerable at. You get hurt in your heart, don't you? Even if your mind can understand something, your heart. And this is why he says, and he says it twice in this chapter, do not lose heart. Because he wants us to love him with all our heart. And so, ladies, our hearts can get misplaced. It can get lost. It can get used and abused by other people. He has designed your heart special. But, ladies, we need to be keepers of our heart. I read one commentary says, in the end, it doesn't matter how well we have performed or what we have accomplished in our life. A heart without God is simply not living. It is out of this wellsprings of our soul that flows true caring and all meaningful work and all real worship and sacrifice. Amen? Amen. Our hearts hold the keys to so much of our lives. That's why it says we must guard our hearts. We must take care of our hearts. We must not lose heart, because when you lose your heart, you lose the ability to forgive. You lose your ability to love, have mercy, and kindness. And I tell you what, this world has lost their heart. They've lost their heart. Wang Kai wrote this. He says, with my eyes I see, with my ears I hear, but it's with my heart I feel and am moved. My mind may think a thought, my hands might perform an action, but with my heart, life. It's what life is most critical about. The language of the heart, ladies, is our desires, isn't it? So why does he say, do not lose heart? The idiom for this losing heart is actually a word picture that is in the Greek, and it has a fancy word for it, and I don't know how to pronounce it, let alone spell it. But what it is loose strings in a violin or a guitar. It's a great word picture. The strings are completely connected in a guitar, right? They're tight and they're well tuned, right? But what happens when those strings become loose? It gets out of tune. Has your heart ever been out of tune? When you strum, when life comes at you and you strum it, it goes blah, 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 blah. Or thump, thump, thump. Well, God is saying, I want to tighten up. I want you not to have those loose strings. I want your life to be so in tune with me that no matter what comes my way, I can strum those hearts, those strings, and a beautiful sound comes out. Isn't that a great picture? Do not lose heart. Tighten up our connection with God. And that's what it comes. Get in tune so that we never lose heart. A heart that is loose is without courage. It's worn out, used up heart. Has it ever been there? Totally consumed with so many things, you don't know which way to go. You're not playing a 6-string or a 12-string guitar. It's a 100-string guitar, and none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. Well, ladies, Paul wants to make sure you understand it is a heart relationship with God, and we are called not to lose heart. Satan wants you to lose heart, because when you lose heart, you lose your priority in life, which is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. I can love him with my mind. I know. But sometimes somewhere it gets lost, doesn't it? You've been there. If you haven't been there, you're going to be there. I'm a prophet. So how's your feeling it right now? Could we all agree we've had times? Do you feel like you're distant from God? You used to really want to get to church. Now you go to church. The pastor's the same. He's giving the most wonderful passage of the Word of God. But all of a sudden, he's not teaching me and connecting with me anymore, the pastor. Not that your pastors would ever do that. But we like to blame the pastor. We blame. The bottom line is our heart's out of sync, and so we're not listening anymore. We're not in tune to God. Your heart, ladies, sometimes can get so consumed with other issues of your life. Your past disappointments in your life now consume you. Your past, your present, your future, it can really rob you of what God wants to do in your life today. Is your heart out of rhythm? Well, you know what? If it is, you're going to have a life of spiritual barrenness and experience missed opportunities. God has designed your heart to have sweet, sweet sounds. And some of you are just around on little thuds. You're really not really, really showing the love of God. Paul answers why in verses 2 and 3. He says, but we have renounced hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight. The manifestation of truth, in our thinking, we could look at that the box top. What is the truth about our lives? That box top does not change when you're trying to put a piece of puzzle together, unless you got the wrong puzzle inside the box. Now, but sister, that's called a different religion. We know our box top, ladies, is this. It is the word of God that does not change. It never changes. It is here today, tomorrow, never changes. But we need to make sure our hearts stay in tune and not let Satan work on our hearts. Now, he says three things here that I think women deal with all the time that get to our hearts. Do you renounce the hidden things of shame? Know what that means? Does anyone have anything they've been ashamed of in their life? Don't raise your hands. Okay. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us just happen to put that on sin on a billboard. Some of us have it hidden. Sin is sin is sin. But what happens is we start living in shame. As a matter of fact, some translations calls it disgrace. Disgrace. Sometimes we have decided that we are now, even though we're saved, we are now disqualified from loving God fully or receiving his love fully or being used of God fully because of what we've done in our past or what we did this morning when we got here. You know, some of us had some arguments with spouses and children because we wanted to get away. Yeah, because that's what Satan does. He wants to make sure that we magnify what we've done in the past. Paul is saying here, ladies, we need to renounce that we have been, we need to announce that we are forgiven. I don't know how many times we lay in bed and rehearse everything we've done wrong in our brains. Over and over and over and over. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, woulda, woulda. Don't we, as women, and we can't sleep, we grieve, we can't believe we did it. There are hidden things of shame. There's things that we just can't believe that we did, but God has forgiven us, hadn't he? And we need to tell Satan he has no business. See, what Satan wants to do is he wants to bury us in shame. He wants to keep us down. When you experience the full love of God, those that have been forgiven much do what?
Love
much. And we just need to, well, good. I've been forgiven a lot, so ladies, I get to love a lot. Na, 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 na. I mean, actually be proud of it. You know, yes, you shouldn't have sinned. I'm not going there. Disgrace is what we want to feel. We want to feel that we are without God's grace. Disgrace. Satan wants to keep us down. We need to just say no to him. Learn to say no. When he conjures that up, just say no. Guilt can really bog you down. It is shame that causes our hearts to lose heart, doesn't it? You know, we need, he says, the manifestation of the truth. The truth is Satan is a liar. He speaks lies. That's the only language he knows. I speak Southern. I do. Y'all going to hear it. Y'all. See? I can't help it. We're fixing to do things. We cut off things. We drive. We have buggies, and they carry pocketbooks. Not handbags. I had to really get, I'm not a Southerner by birth, and so I had to learn this whole new language. And their favorite thing is bless her heart. If you can't say something nice about someone, you say bless your heart. It's either good or bad. Then it's up to them to figure out if you like them or not. Bless her heart. But Satan is the same way. All he speaks is lies. And if we can remember that, if we can know, he's a liar, liar, pants on fire. You're a liar, Satan. And I'm not going to fall for it anymore. I have been forgiven. I am clean. I am whole. I'm renewed. I'm made new. I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Testify, girls. I need my testifying side over here. You don't test. In the South, they testify. I am running out of time. The Satan is he wants to. You lose heart when you think anything you did is beyond the reach of heaven, beyond the covering of his blood. Do I not need to say that any further? The next thing is if he can't get you to think and to deal with shame, sometimes he wants us to walk in craftiness. Shame is over the stuff we did yesterday. Craftiness is some of the things you're doing today. And let me tell you, ladies, you need to deal with your sin that you do today. Because sin separates. You know it. Your children know it. Your husbands know it. You know whether your life is looking like that box top or not. You know it. You might have fooled everyone else in this room, but God knows it. There are some hidden sins that all of us need to deal with. There are some thoughts that you think. There's some temptations you have that God wants to have you be conquerors of. You need to deal with it. Is there hypocrisy in your walk? You know better. You know not to. The third thing he wants to make sure we do, we're dealt with our past, we're dealing with our present, and he means to make sure when you're looking at that box top, he says, not handling the word of God with deceit or trickery. Ladies, this time gets closer to Jesus' return. It says people are going to want their ears tickled, and people are going to start rewriting, amending, and redoing this word of God. They're going to. And ladies, if you are not well-rounded and founded and have a firm foundation in with the Word, you're going to get tricked. He wants to trick you. Satan is trying to tell you, some of us, that this, whatever scripture, it doesn't apply to you. You are the exception. There's things in here I said, forgiveness, it's hard. Be not bitter, that's hard. Be not angry, that's hard. Do not be envious of other people. Ladies, that's hard. The older you get, the harder it is. I want that tight bod. Now you're going to testify. Woo, now I got hot. I want the non-menopausal bod or post-menopausal bod. We deal with it. We deal with it. Ladies, I'm old. I'm not as old. I can be older. I will be older one day. But we need to know, we don't need to be tricked. Do not be tricked. Take care of who you are. Your heart needs to stay in tune. Don't fall the trickery that this word of God is not the authority. You want to know what your life is supposed to look at? When you put all the pieces together, your life is going to be in the framework and the boundaries of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every decision you make. Every decision. Is it reflective of my love for God or His love for me? If it's not, throw out that piece. Is this love for other people reflective of God's attitudes? Am I loving with the right attitude? Am I loving them right? If it's not, correct yourself. And it really simplifies life. It does. But you've got to keep those pieces firmed when you're doing a puzzle. Satan wants to take those little pieces of your framework and he wants to take them apart. He wants to make sure your love isn't quite together. Pieces of the puzzle have to fit together. And when they fit together, it's a perfect foundation. One of the key words nowadays is the margins. Y'all, in the South we have margins. Well, let me enlighten you Southern California girls. We have margins. It is what you base your life. It's where you say no and yes to, where you live your life in those margins. This my time is up. Your boundaries. Are you living in freedom from forgiven sins? Are you free from them? Are they still baggage in your life? Renounce them. Just say no. Satan wants to pronounce your sin. God says renounce them. Tweet it. You do tweet out here. Are you walking in a manner worthy of God? Sin in your life will destroy your heart, your love connection with Him. You're in here. Those strings are attached. We're not talking about coming unattached out of sync. You're attached. Sometimes you're out of sync with God just because you're walking in known sin and you know it. And let me tell you what, ladies, when you start handling the Word of God accurately, there's freedom. There's freedom. So what does your box top look like? What are your boundaries? Margins. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. Help us to simplify it so that it makes sense. Help us to embrace the fact that the greatest priority in our life, above all else, is to simply love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Father, give us understanding of that so we might walk in that. Free us up from the expectations that we've put on ourselves that are not in your word. Father, show some of these ladies right now that they are loved beyond loved, totally accepted in the beloved. We are called beloved women of God. And in the same way, Father, we want to love on you. Our love for you, Father, is unique and special as how much you desire. You created us special. I rejoice in that fact. So, Father, some people need to do business with God before we have fun. So, Father, we thank you that you're going to continue to work and speak and teach so that we can see the manifestation of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was long.
Okay, so that.